Okay, we're going to try and get ourselves underway here. Welcome back to the Common Criteria track. And as I said at the first session, if that isn't what you expected to hear, you're in the wrong spot. Our next speaker is Vice President Technology for Wind Magic, where he focuses on incorporating new technologies into Wind Magic's DAR solutions, as well as representing Wind Magic on a variety of industry groups, such as the TCG Storage Work Group. His topic for this presentation is the development of collaborative PPs for full disk encryption. So please join me in welcoming Gary McCracken.
Well, thank you. So again, I'm Gary McCracken. I'm VP of Technology for Wind Magic, and we're here today to talk about the CPPs for full disk encryption. Well, actually, it's full drive encryption. Full disk encryption is what we used to call it 10, 15 years ago when they all spun around and had magnetic media. But the technology, which is encrypting the drive at the lowest level possible on an LBA by LBA basis, so that everything's encrypted, including the operating system and the file system, except for maybe a little bit that's left over for pre-boot authentication, that applies equally well to SSDs. So one of the first thing that the FDE group did was rebrand full disk encryption to be full drive encryption so that it covers both spinning media and SSDs. But I might say full disk encryption here, but I mean full drive encryption, sort of the same thing. A little bit about Wind Magic, so you know why this is an important topic to us. We're a Canadian company based in Toronto, Mississauga. Been doing this since 1997. Our first software FDE product was NSA certified to protect secret data in the RAS program. Unfortunately, that was Forteza based, and that sunset it. But then AES came along, and we were actually the we had cert number one for for CAVP for our AES. So we were one of the first to, the first actually, to get that certified. And then we moved on and we did the FIPS level one and level two, and discovered that level two really didn't mean that much, so we keep to level one now for software. And did common criteria in 2007, that's the EL level four. And we did that and we sort of did it and we didn't do it again. But it was a good thing to do because it allowed us to get a basis of documentation understanding for a product, but the maintenance of it wasn't practical for us. And then 2009, all that was software full drive encryption. In 2009, we joined the Trusted Computing Group, and that's when the Trusted Computing Group came out with, around that time, of a self-encrypting drive. And a self-encrypting drive achieves the same thing with software full disk encryption, but with a lot of advantages. And so our world expanded to both managing software encryption and self-encrypting drives. So this, and then as we moved forward over the years, the actually adoption of full disk encryption expanded quite a bit from single unit uses to thousands or tens of thousands, or over 100,000 licenses in an existing environment. So enterprise management has become much more important than it was 10 or 15 years ago. So a quick look at sort of generic architecture for FDE. You know, originally it was one big blob of software that managed the authentication and the actual encryption went back in the days of the original software, full disk encryption. But as things evolved, it became clear to us that there's really two major architectural levels. On the lowest level is really the encryption. It's more than the cryptographic module because it's got to understand the drive and actually encrypt and decrypt each of those LBAs. But the actual encryption could be done in a self-encrypting drive. It could be done by the operating system, BitLocker in Microsoft for Windows, or FileVault 2 for Apple. Or it could be done by the ISV, for example, Wind Magic. And each of those individual ways of doing encryptions have pros and cons, and it's really sort of up to the customer to pick which is the best one for their use case. So that's one level. Then the level on the top is really the what we call the key management level. That's where the authentication's done for recovery, remote crypto arrays, and central management. So we came to this sort of architecture or sort of on our own just based on it made so much sense. And then when the CPP came along, we were for FDE, we were glad to see that it actually mapped very nicely. So on the bottom half, there's a CPP called CPP-EE for the encryption engine. And on the top half, there is a two components, CPAA for authentication acquisition, and then an extension to that for enterprise management. So the I think the CPPs make sense from an architectural point of view. A little bit of history. We've done, we've probably all done common criteria AA levels before. As you know, it's sort of unique to each product. You sort of roll your own. It was difficult for customers to compare. It was difficult to maintain. The evaluations are expensive and time-consuming. So we're at least hoping that the CPP's approach addresses this. There's a trusted, there's an FDE technical community, international technical community. I think there's about 10 different nations represented one way or the other in that community. There's labs, academia, government, ISVs, I guess industry, I guess that's us, just players. The thing about the CPP is that it's got a relatively small set of practical security functional requirements. And it's our hope, and I think it's true, that there will be practical to implement, and that's why by having ISVs and industry participants, that's one of our jobs is to make sure something doesn't get defined as not possible to implement. So practical, implementable, and comparable. So the customer should be able to look at these things and compare one to the other. So we have great hope for the CPPs. Let's just get into a little bit more detail about the ones for FDE. The full drive encryption profiles for FDE have a very simple baseline use case. It's to protect data at rest. When the drive, when the computer is shut off, that's when you get your real maximum protection. So if it's lost or stolen in a a safe state, which is basically shut off, you can get incredibly really good protection. As soon as you turn the machine on and you authenticate, well, that's up to somebody else to protect you because we did our job because we didn't give up the data until somebody authenticated. So very simple use case, but a very important one. Here's a little bit on the three CPPs. The first, CPP-EE for the encryption engine, and CPP-AA, the authorization acquisition, both released version 2, so they've been around for a while in September of 2016. Those two together, you need both of those together to actually make a product that a user could use, the EE doing the encryption and the AA doing the authentication. But if you need to manage these on a large scale in an enterprise, you need enterprise management. And the third one here, the CPP-EM enterprise management, it's still under development. It's actually in review now until May 26th, so I encourage you to go to that web link and put some comments in on it. It's good reading. I printed out a copy here just to see how heavy it was. It's about 99 pages. And anybody who's worked on the network device protocol are going to see a lot of similarities in here, so you could probably breeze through it pretty quick. Let's take a bit of a deep, little deeper dive into the CPPs. First, we'll start at the sort of the bottom with the encryption engine. So the encryption engine is the thing that does the full drive encryption. Its interface to the other CPP is through something called a BEV, a border encryption value, and that's very important. That border encryption value, sort of in between those two boxes, is a minimum 128 or 256 bit key, we call it that, something within the keychain. It's not a username or a password or anything like that. And once, starting with the BEV, the encryption engine can continue on the keychain and reveal the MAC or the data encryption key and decrypt and encrypt the device. It has its own key management. It has its own functions like cryptographic erase if receives a command, most likely from the AA. So the encryption engine takes care of the encryption, the full disencryption, but doesn't really have too much of a user interface. The other thing I should mention is the encryption engine can be encrypted, or can be implemented in software, or can be implemented in a self-encrypting drive. Now the FDE CPP AA authorization acquisition, this is the thing that would typically interface with the user. It would have authentication factors like password, maybe external smart card or external token. Some of those may have values that are sufficient. If it was a smart card, there may be have a value that's sufficient enough to pass straight through into as the BEV. But more likely, there'll be conditions. Certainly, a password would be need to be conditioned into a 128 or 256-bit minimum value into the BEV to send across into the encryption engine. From an implementation technology point of view, this module is probably running as pre-boot, what we call pre-boot authentication software. It's probably running on a modern computer as a UEFI app. But it also could be implemented in Linux or it could be an RTOS. But the idea here is that it runs, it unlocks the drive, and then boots the target operating system. And the target operating system, again, could be Linux again. So we're actually two boots. Or it could be Windows or something else. We're not limited to those operating systems. And then there's CPP EM for enterprise management. So this is the new one. This is the one that's under development. It's actually under review now. And it allows you to have a central server manage over a network the endpoints. So if you have 10,000 of these endpoints in an enterprise, you need a central management for those. It's concerned with protecting the communication of the keys when they move back and forth from the central server to the endpoint. So it has things like should use TLS or IPsec or SSH. There's specific specifications for those. One of the main functions of the central server would be to do recovery. End users forget their passwords or lose their credentials all the time, and it becomes very expensive inside an enterprise. And so with this, the central server needs to have a secure way of allowing the end central administrator to unlock remotely these devices, and this enterprise management CPP has things like challenge response or one-time PIN specified in it so that they could be unlocked the device remotely. Also, you might want to put in a cryptographic erase from the central console that could be sent over the network to zap the end device, because they're usually not local to the server. So this enterprise management, again, it's under development and it's under review until May 26. So there they are, all three of them together. The enterprise management, which is really an add-on or extended package to the CPPAA, which then provides the border encryption value to the encryption engine that can actually do the full disencryption. Now these things will combine in a number of different ways. If it was a software full disencryption standalone product, then the vendor might want to take CPPAA and EE and together combine those into one TO and get that evaluated. And there is some guidance documentation on how you do that. Or the vendor could take a software vendor could do CPPAA, and you could take a self-encrypting drive who they could do CPPEE and combine those two as products to make something that actually works. Or the full story would be taking one TO or one product that did enterprise management with CPPAA as the authentication acquisition, and in software folders encryption, for instance. And that would be three involved in one product. There is no guidance on that yet, so I don't know how that's going to be done, but that would probably be the trickiest one. So, applications for the CPPs, who will use them, and who will want them? I'm a member of the Trusted Computing Group. The Trusted Computing Group is a consortium of PC manufacturers, drive manufacturers, TPM manufacturers. It has Intel, Microsoft, all get together to define the Trusted Computing base for industry. And within that Trusted Computing Group, there's something called a storage work group, and they have a particular spec, or we have a particular spec called OPAL for self-encrypting drive. And the Trusted Computing Group needs to have a certification for any of their specs. So there's a certification for TPMs. The certification that we picked for to be TCG OPAL certified, we made two requirements. One is that there's a number of OPAL test cases that must, in a certified test suite, and this is almost done, that the drive must pass. But the other thing that you must have to be TCG OPAL certified is we picked CPPEE for the security evaluation. So we're building on top of it. And so I think that in the future, if you see that it's actually a TCG OPAL certified drive, that certification is going to mean something, because you can tell that it really does conform to the standard from a functional point of view, and there has been somebody that actually has looked at the security aspect of it because of the CPPEE. So I'm hoping self-encrypting drive manufacturers are one of the people who are going to use this. And then there's ISVs, and as I mentioned before, you can combine these in many different ways, and a CPPA, and we can manage SEDs, and there's quite a few different combinations. Also, I don't see any reason why OS vendors may also take a look at this, though I have no inside knowledge about that. In terms of who will want it, well, I guess it all comes down to procurement and being specified as a requirement for customers. So all I can say is from the endorsements point of view, we have the five eyes have endorsed the CPPEE NAA, the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom. Hopefully there'll be more to come. CPPEM is not endorsed yet, but it's not released yet. And that's it. We have 2 minutes left for questions. Go ahead.
Let's say be sure to step up to the microphone. Don't be shy, because we need to be close to be heard.
Let's say I have a question on any applicability of any of this protection profile or need interpretation. Who and how do I contact for that?
So there is a FIT team being put together now. I don't know who can tell me what FIT stands for. Well, I was actually asking. I don't know, but there's a team. That's what it stands for. Excellent. So this team is now just putting together. The first meeting was actually, I think just a couple days ago. I was here, so I didn't attend. So when there are questions that come in about interpretation of any of the specifications, it gets rooted back. And it seems to me that this FIT team is really sort of like the ITC technical community creates the specs, and then a lot of the same people are volunteering for the FIT team to help people with the interpretation of the specs.
How do you envision the CPPEE requirement for SEDs under TCG to be rolled out or enforced with drive manufacturers, like timeline or anything?
Well, I don't think it's going to be enforced. I think it'll be market driven. So if the PC OEMs at some point will say, I want a TCG OPAL drive, certified OPAL drive for, say, government applications, then that's when the drive vendors will step up.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Gary. Oh, and that FIT was for full drive encryption interpretation team? Yeah. Okay.